Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Amen.
Frightening words. Father, just reading them in front of your people just scares me. Just frightens me. What an intimidating few verses of scripture. Father, I just pray right now that you just give me the power and the love to preach it in a loving way. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his boldness, Father God. I ask just for just a fraction of it this morning to preach what thus say the word of God. Pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When you look at a text like that and you read it in public, it's a little different than reading it in private. A lot of times when you stand and read the scripture in public, it's a little more demanding. I think about this text and the fact that Jesus is saying there's some folks, they're on the road, and they're on the road there, they believe they're going to heaven, only to find out they're not on the right road, and they haven't done the right things. I think about the greatest movie ever made. Somebody said Wizard of Oz, 'cause y'all know me. 1939, Julie Garland. Greatest movie ever made. I've ever seen. I watch it as much as I can. And one day we're going to have movie night out here and I'm going to watch it with y'all. Because some of y'all have seen it. But in that movie, Dorothy was on her way to Oz. And in on her way to Oz, she ran into some companions, a lion, a scarecrow, and a tin man. And on that road, they ran into some problems. They had to deal with a couple of witches, some flying monkeys, some poppy seeds that put them to sleep. It rained on the tin man, and you know that that wasn't good. Scarecrow caught on fire, that's not good. Toto was stolen. And that's just life. That's just life. As we go through life, we go through some trials and tribulation. But what can't happen is when Dorothy got to Oz, she knocked on the door, and Henry was with me last night. He's like, what are you listening to? Because I had to go to YouTube, make sure I had it right. And so Dorothy knocked on the door. And the man over the door said, who rang that bell? That are frightening words to me. Because Dorothy went through all that and she got to the Oz and they did not know who she was.
Amen.
Folks, listen. We on this journey. We going through. Some of y'all going through right now. Some of y'all going through things right now.
Amen.
Some of us just got out of some stuff. And then tomorrow there's some stuff waiting for some of us. Okay? We need to know our Lord and our Savior. This is compelling. You have to know it. I am just committed to teaching this word. Amen. And making sure you guys, when you stand before the Lord, when you stand before the Lord, you will have everything you need to get in. Amen. The word of God says, not everyone that say unto me. Now that's interesting. To say unto me. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm going to be the one judging. Now he's preaching to his disciples on the Sermon on the Mount. But he said in that day. What day? That great day. That great day. He said in that day, you're going to say unto me. Okay? Not Muhammad. Not Mary. Not Buddha. Not Joseph Smith. You're going to say unto me. Why? Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus is saying, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's frightening stuff. That's frightening stuff. And Jesus says, why won't they get in? That has to be the question. You have to ask the text the question. Pastor, why won't these folks get in? Here's why. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's how you get in. Now watch what they do. They got some stuff. They done some stuff. Now they got an answer. Now I'm just going to read this text and go over, and then I'm going to talk about some of these things. I'm going to talk about the will of God today. But many will say, because they don't have the will of God working in their lives. Okay? They think they do. And folks will say, man, you know, you a great preacher, or you a great child of God, and you so wonderful this, so wonderful that. Listen, let me tell you something. You better let the word of God say it to you. Let the word of God speak to you. Line up your life. Line up your life with God's word. Amen. Not with man's word. Because many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Oh, we were great preachers. Oh, we were great preachers. Oh, we preached. Oh, folks, listen. Folks were just running and shouting. Listen. I don't believe when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, nobody running around. I don't believe when he preached this, nobody was shouting. I believe everybody was sitting there like me when I just read it, just petrified. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the heaven. You mean tell me? And I've been preaching all my life. You mean tell me that there's a chance that Billy Graham might not enter into the kingdom of heaven? The man 88, 90 years old? You mean tell me there's preachers out there that have saved others, that have preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, folks have been saved, and them themselves go to hell? That's a great possibility. See, God will honor his word and may not honor the preacher of the word. See, the word of God says his word will not return void. So you may be preaching his word and folks will get saved, but you yourself die and go to hell. Yeah, that don't sound right, Pastor. It may not sound right, but it is right. Okay? How do you know? Because many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Preaching. Preaching. And in thy name have cast out devils. Let me tell you something. See, then when Jesus was speaking this, folks were still casting out devils. Devils was being cast out. Remember when the disciples of Jesus seen the disciples of John, they was casting out devils. And Jesus' disciples said, well, should we go over there and say something to them? Why are they doing it? Scripture was still being written. Folks were still casting out devils. Watch this now. And in thy name done many wonderful works. I was at my sister's funeral yesterday. And the apostle came in. And when the apostle came in, I'm just a Bible guy. So when the guy come in and say, I'm an apostle, I'm sitting there like, uh-oh. Something getting ready to happen up in here. The apostle didn't come in. Did nothing happen. We have to be careful with this stuff. I just want y'all to be correct. Okay? What's happening here? Why aren't these folks getting into heaven? Empty words. Empty words. Now, y'all know I like the Browns. I love the Browns. I'm a Browns fan. Josh Gordon. Bless. I'm so thankful. I want to thank the players. I want to thank the fans. I want to thank the National Football Players Association. I want to thank Roger Goodell. I want to thank everybody. A week before he getting ready to start playing again, he checked in. Empty words. See, we say some stuff. See, some of y'all say some stuff. Get up here saying some stuff. See, I'm of this persuasion now. Honestly, y'all have heard me say it many times. Don't sing it if you ain't living. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with telling Cindy Bryan or Miss Claire, listen, I ought not be singing this week. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with that. They ain't not going to sit here and say, I'm not going to even question. Mm-hmm. This week I'm not going to sing. If somebody decided not taking communion today, I'm not going to sit there and say, why ain't you taking communion? Uh-huh. I'm just not taking it today. You know what I've been doing the last 30 days? I don't leave it alone. You don't have to take it. You're not commanded to take it. When they pass that thing by you, that's on you. Yes. Just leave it, let it go. Amen. Just let it go by. Ain't nobody going to question, oh, what is she doing? She ain't taking you in. Don't worry about folks. See, you can get horizontal. You get so horizontal. Listen, when y'all said, get prayer well. Get right with God. Don't worry about getting right with people. Amen. When you get right with God, you'll be right with people. And if you don't get right with people, you'll still be right with God. Amen. I'd rather be right with God than right with people. Okay? Don't let people get you. People will drag you to hell. Mm-hmm. You'll be doing stuff you ain't supposed to be doing. Trying to please people. A whole lot of mess. A whole lot of people messed up because they tried to please people. Please God. Amen. This is what the text is saying. Why ain't you getting to heaven? Jesus gives the illustration of how. Okay, watch this. Not everyone that saith to me, unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth. Okay? That doeth. That's a continual behavior. That's a constant. You are constantly doing the will of God. What is the will of God? That's interesting. See, what is the will of God? The will of God is God commanding you, okay? God is commanding you. He's appointing you to do his bidding, to do his work, okay? Wait a minute, that's not enough. I ain't clear enough. Let me say this. Acts 1 and 8 says this, okay? When you receive the Holy Ghost, Baptist folks, I know we don't like Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit for some of y'all. But the Bible says Holy Ghost. Okay? You will receive power. You will receive the power of God when you receive the Holy Ghost. Now, some of you ask questions. I don't know, Pastor. I might not have the Holy Ghost. You'll know. But one thing for certain, two things for sure, you can't be saved without it. Okay? And you can do a whole lot without it, but you can't do a whole lot for God without it. Yeah. Remember, the Chinese missionary came to America, and he seen all the big churches, the mega churches, and folks in the parking lot parking people. I mean, folks everywhere. I mean, skyscraper. I mean, you got pastors using football stadiums for churches. And when he was leaving, they asked him a question. He said, missionary from China, what impressed you the most about the American church? He was, you know how we is. When we get it going on, we want to impress somebody. What impressed you the most about our churches? I can see the arrogant, preacher telling the Chinese missionary, what impressed you? The Potter's House? Was it the Potter's House? Was it Joel Osteen Church? Was it all the TV ministries you've seen? What impressed you the most? You know what the missionary said? Here's what impressed me the most. How much you can do in America. How much the American church can do without the Holy Ghost. That's what he said. Let me tell you something. Don't be a showman. We got a lot of showmen. We got a lot of showmen in the pulpit. And they work on them. What can I say to get the crowd pumped up? Okay, now I've been to churches where they get pumped up, you know, and they get the crowd pumped up and they start running down and throwing money on it. Oh, that worked. Okay. Let me see if I can do that 4 or 5 times in a service. Now, y'all see, this happens. They running down here now. I don't know, I can get Deacon Oliver run down here and empty his pockets. Interesting stuff. Pay attention. Listen. Listen, if God commands and appoints a man, he must empower him. Okay? Let me say that again. If God calls you, he has to empower you. He can't not empower you. Paul knew this, and Paul knew that the course that God had called Paul to on, God had to empower Paul. Paul couldn't do it. There's no way you can preach God's word or be a man of God in a fallen world without the power of God working in your life. There's no way. And many of us in here are frustrated and going through. And really the reason why is because we don't have what we say we have. Okay? Are you a professor or a possessor? Okay? Let me say that again. Are you a professor or a possessor? That's a good question. Do you have what you say you have? You know, first of all, giving honor to God who's ahead of my, is he? Okay? So we have to answer these questions we sing. You know? And we sing the song. Y'all know my favorite song. Y'all say, yes, I'm a believer. Are you? You can't be without the Holy Ghost working powerfully in your life.
Amen.
Can't be. You had the will of God. Paul had the will of God. And God put Paul on a collision course with the world. See, the Christian is on a collision course with the world.
Amen.
See, we in bed with the world.
Amen.
Yep. We want to please the world. We didn't even start using the world to try to attract the world. You can't use the world to attract the world. And a lot of churches see what they're doing. Look at that. They got a full house. What are they doing? What are they doing to get all them people to come to the football games? Got cheerleaders. I just asked Henry. I said, why are them cheerleaders out there? Why we need cheerleaders at football games? Bunch of drunk men watching half-naked women.
Amen.
So nobody preaching on half-naked women coming to church because you know what? Half-naked women, churches are full of half-naked women anymore. Folks like it. I'm going to the church. I ain't going over to Pastor Neil's church. I'm going to the church with all the half-naked women.
Amen.
Oh, that's what they say. Y'all don't hear them. They don't say it like that. But that's what they mean.
Amen.
Because if I was single and unsaved, I wouldn't come here. See, y'all don't like I keep it real. Y'all, if I keep it real, y'all don't. If I was single and unsaved,
amen,
I would not come here.
Amen.
I'm going where it's popping. Madison, they let it go. I'm going to let it go. I'm just going to keep it 100. Okay. If we was unsaved, we wouldn't be here. Listen to that man. Ball head man hollering at us all day with that Bible. Listen. Do you possess what you profess? That's the question. Paul had a tough job. And you do too as a man of God, woman of God, Christian. Layperson, whatever you a woman of God, Christian, don't matter. Everybody don't have to be in the pulpit. Okay? We need more people in the pews shining all the time. Shining all the time. Well, we know we got the pulpit's full of folks. Paul had a tough job. Tough task. Had to go to the carnal Corinthian church. He had to go there and he had to straighten it out. He couldn't do that on his own. And this is what he says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 1. He said, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Amen. That was his power. So when Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he meant it. See, we say it all the time. As soon as I said Philippians 4:13, some of y'all, I know that verse. You know it, but you can't do it. You can't. We want to do prison ministry. Oh, I can't do that. I can't fool with inmates. Oh, we want to do, you know, we're going to go to nurse home. Oh, man, you want to smell the nurse home. I can't go to nurse home. You can't do nothing. Oh, you know, I can't get to Sunday school. Oh, I can't get to Wednesday. Oh, what can you do? With this power, this wonder-working power. And we can't do nothing. Oh, I can't get up early and read the Bible. Oh, I can't stay up late and read the Bible. Oh, I can't do nothing. Can't do nothing. I'm just a Christian that can't do nothing. That's not even. Got a lot of them. Somebody said, good for nothing Christians. Paul said this. He had to go to this church. Nobody was preaching the word. Corinthians church. Nobody preaching the word. I'm going to give you about four verses out of four chapters out of Corinthians. Nobody preaching the word. Paul had to go there. Literally had to confront a bunch of preachers. Imagine you go to a clergy convention. Okay? They ain't preaching the word. You know they ain't nobody preaching the word. They all in there talking about how many members they got. Oh, Lord, man, I got 500 members. I got 1,000 members. I got 2,000 members. Oh, we had a big offering today. Oh, 20 people came to the Lord. 40 people came to the Lord. Oh, man, they was walking down the aisles. They been running in the hallway. You know? Now, Paul show up. And Paul show up. In chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, Paul show up and say, and brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, but I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in much fear. Excuse me, in fear and much trembling. In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the power, excuse me, of the Spirit. In a power, when Paul preached, he gave a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay? Now watch this last verse. Why did he do that? Because he understood that there was going to come a day when all the folks that he preached to were going to be held accountable. They were going to be called out. And Paul said this in verse 5, that your faith, okay, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. Why? Because it won't stand. It won't stand the test that you're going to be tested with. You got listen, you meet my preacher. You got to meet my pastor. You got to come to my church. You need to know something. Okay? Child of God, woman of God, man of God, boy of God, girl of God, you ought to know something. You ought to know something. Listen, let me introduce you to my Savior. Meet my Savior. You don't have to meet me. No, you got to come to my church. No, you don't need to come here. I'm the church. I'm going to tell you something about Jesus Christ. Taylor ought to know enough about Jesus Christ to get somebody saved. She's been sitting in God's house all these years. She ought to know something. She ought to be able to say, listen, you better know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Listen, if you don't believe, you tell your little friends, you know, your little friends at school, you know, Jill, you can tell your little friends at school. Let me tell you something. If you don't believe in Christ, going to hell. And then start ducking. Folk don't want to hear. You know, I have some Methodist folks come out to the prison and preach. And I say, did you say hell? Because he's a Methodist. I said, did you say hell? That's not in the vocabulary of some churches. Uh-huh. Well, it's in Jesus' vocabulary. Because Paul said here, listen, that your faith, not mine, yours, just personal, should not stand in the wisdom of man. Yeah. Amen. Why not? Because faith in man will always let you down. But in the power of God, in the power of God. Man, that's terrifying. Your faith. What's your faith stand in? See, I'm going to be asking questions. Because what is my faith in? What am I faith in? Don't have faith in me. Don't have faith in Minister Bryant. And Minister Matt. Faith in God. Faith in God. Listen. Paul had to address some stuff in Corinthian church. I'm going to give you this one. Because see, we're going to sit here, and you can be sitting in church all your life, and you don't hear preachers preach on marriage. They weren't preaching on marriage. They weren't preaching on marriage in the Corinthian church, and too many of our churches are like the Corinthian church. Okay? And Paul says this in chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. He said, now concerning these whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Ain't nobody preaching that. Yeah, preachers touching women. I can't preach that. I'm touching women. No. I'm not like I touch y'all. So I try to lay hands on Claire's knee, but it's still bad. Amen. You know, lay hands on Dave, and he still had to go get the surgery. Not to touch a woman. Y'all know what that is. Yes. Nevertheless, now watch this now. Somebody, we preached this when y'all we was young. I want y'all to be thinking about this when you're thinking about doing something naughty. Y'all don't think about y'all preaching, because I'm going to keep preaching it. I'm going to try to preach y'all to the backseat of these cars and stuff. Okay? Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, avoid it. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So what the word of God says, if they all right to fornicate with, they ought to be all right to marry. And if you're already married, well, you ain't fornicating. You're adulterating. That's a word. First Corinthians 13. Love chapter. This ain't no love chapter. This is a rebuke. People say, oh, this is a love chapter. I ain't heard people read it at their weddings and stuff. And it's fine to read at the wedding. I think it's a great verse. I think it's a great chapter, but it ain't. It's a rebuke. It's a rebuke. And I'm just going to read 4 or 5 verses of it. I just want y'all to see the magnitude of what Paul had to face when he walked into these churches. He had to be under the will of God. Paul's rebuking this church. He's checking them, and he couldn't do this on his own. He wouldn't have wanted to if he was carnal. Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just noise. That's right. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Okay? Look at the next one. And though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. What do you mean, profit you nothing? When you stand before the judge, it's not going to mean anything that you did all this stuff if you didn't have love. And the only way you can have love is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You can't have man's love. Amen. Man's love can't get you to heaven. You got to have God's love. God is love. Amen. And besides him, there's what? No other. Remember the carnal. I'm going to keep going. So I got to get to this Colossian church. Paul addressed the Colossian church the same way. I want y'all to know what the will of God means. Are y'all getting it? Now I got to stop here. Let me stop here. Because I got to stop here. Take a break. Give you a story. Some of you heard already. Just bear with me. Because it's necessary. Because I don't want this. I don't want y'all to be like the three hunters. Okay, y'all heard this before. I know. I just told it many times. I'm not getting. See now, I just want y'all to hear because I just think it's timely. There's three hunters went hunting, a lawyer, a doctor, and a preacher, and they seen a big old buck. I mean, this thing had a rack on it, and they all shot at the same time. Boom! And they ran to it. They couldn't figure out who killed it, who could claim it. So they called the warden, the animal warden. He came over and looked at it. Instantly he looked at it and said, "This is the preacher shot it." And the lawyer and the doctor said, "Well, how did you tell so fast? You didn't even hardly look at it." He said, "I could tell the preacher shot it because it went in one ear and out the other." Oh, Lord, help me. Somebody hold on to this. This is important. This is important. I may just lighten it up a little bit because I just can get stiff. Paul to the Colossians. This is another church that was carnal. That was carnal. You know, in our city is just full of carnal churches. I'm not going to even go outside of Youngstown because I don't have known all churches in Akron, Canton, Kent. I know they all carnal. Most of them carnal. Okay? Because nobody want to preach the word of God because that's not popular. Nobody want to hear that. Okay? That's a good point. You know, I was around a lot of preachers yesterday. "How's the ministry? How's the ministry?" That's all they asked me. "How's the ministry?" I said, "Ministry, great. I love it. I love preaching. I love my people. I love the church." And you know, they asked me, "Well, how's that?" Because I don't preach for money, bro. Amen. I don't preach for money. I got a job.
Amen.
Okay? I got a job. I can say whatever I want to say. They know they can call a meeting anytime they want to and say, "We want to go in a different direction. We want a more charismatic preacher. We want to fill this house up. We want this place flowing." Well, that's y'all's call. Okay, I'm just a servant.
Amen.
That's all. So Paul's talking to this carnal church in Corinthians, in Colossians, and he says this: "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God." Paul says, I'm not doing this on my own. If it was up to me, I wouldn't be doing this. That's what he really saying. Now watch what he says. He says in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 3, "If ye be risen with Christ." What's the "if" there for? Because folks ain't living like they talking.
Amen.
Okay? They talking right and walking left, as one preacher say. They saying all the right things, singing all the right songs. "Take me to the King," and all they singing all the right songs, singing them. But are you living them?
Uh-huh.
You know what? It's not hard to tell if somebody's singing from what they know, from what's going on in their life, when they singing from their relationship with God, than just making noise.
Amen.
Okay? Listen. "If ye then be risen with Christ." What's he saying? If you've been born again, if you are saved, if you claiming that you have the power of God working in your life, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Listen, a believer is a seeker. That's what Paul's saying. If you say you're saved, if you say you're born again, there's a lifestyle that comes with it. You can't get away from it.
Amen.
It just comes with the territory.
Amen.
Listen, set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Now, all you got to do is check yourself. This is just this for me, too. I'm just preaching God's word by the will of God, by the will of God. Because if I didn't have the will of God, I wouldn't preach this to y'all. I'll be trying to get y'all excited up in here.
Amen.
Okay? I'll be a preacher tainer. Half preacher, half entertainer. Okay, they a little quiet today. I'm going to entertain them. I gotta run this place. I got to run these aisles.
Amen.
Everybody lay back. Everybody lay back. I can imagine sitting here with Jesus. I bet you. I shouldn't say bet. I'm a gambling man. I guarantee you, wasn't nobody running when Jesus was preaching this. Okay? When Paul preached this, I guarantee you they had rocks in their hands. Why? Here's Paul. "Set your affections on things above, not on the things of earth." What was Paul saying? You earthly-minded, carnal Christian. That's what he was saying. He was so diplomatic about it. But he said, "You saying that you saved and living like fools." That's what you see here. Watch this. "For you are dead and your life is hid in with Christ in God." If you're a child of God. But we're alive to the things of the world. We're alive to sin. Paul said you ought to be dead to it. Look what he says in verse number 5. Mortify therefore your members upon which are upon the earth. Mortify them. You know what that means? Make them dead. Make them dead. You got the power to do it. See, you can't make them dead if you ain't got the power to do it. You can't make them dead without the power to do it. Y'all, I hope y'all getting this. You can't mortify sin in your life without the power of God working in you. Amen. You can't. Paul says, mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth. What? What members? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. You know what that means? Concupiscence. Longing to do what you know is wrong. Yes, you know it's wrong. As soon as you get away from the people of God, as soon as you get away from somebody that you're accountable to, you long to do evil. Folks just don't know. If you just knew me, Pastor, if you just knew when I ain't in church, when I ain't around people like you, I cuss and swear. I'm a bad son of a gun. We got a whole lot of folk, church full of folk like that. Catch him at Walmart or somewhere. All these are Sam's Club. Acting a fool in school. Acting up. Get out of God's house and act a fool. Listen. Paul, talking about the will of God. You know, got to be a pet peeve of mine. Paul reminded them who they were. He had to go to the Ephesians church. He had to remind them who they were. Watch how he starts. It's the same. See, we want something different every Sunday. It's the same. It don't change here. Message don't change. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, again, by the will of God. By the will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus. Now watch what he has to do to the saints. Because they were doing the same thing. See, this is not new. It's not new that the church is carnal. But what has to happen, the man of God has to preach the Bible. Amen. That's the only thing going to save you. You got to hear the word of God. People say, I'm trying to get myself together. You can't get yourself together. It can't come from within you. There's no good thing in you. So you try to get yourself together. You can't. I hear people all the time. Well, you know, I decided to give my life to the Lord. You will never decide to give your life to the Lord. You're going to serve the devil as long as you can. Until God touch you. And you have quickened. Who were dead. And trespasses and sins. You're dead and trespasses and sins. Well, how did you come alive? Faith cometh how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And now that ought to be condemning. Amen. You a preacher ain't preaching the word. What's he saying? I'm of the devil. Amen. Oh, nobody want to hear that. You're not preaching the word. I can't preach that. I want everybody to like me. So I'm going to entertain them and we're going to run around. But the word has to be preached. If somebody's going to be saved, the word of God has to be preached. Amen. And you can't preach it without the power of God in you. Uh-huh. In you. The church, the word of God, was founded by the will of God. It was founded by the will of God. People say, well, the church is built on the word of God, and the word of God is not being preached. It is not a church. Okay? It's not a church. Jesus said, my Father's house should be called a house of prayer, but you turned it into a den of thieves. And what he meant by turning into a den of thieves, you turn it into a resort. You know, all kind of stuff going on. He's selling stuff. I was riding by some churches in Warren on the outside. You know, they got a casino night going on. And anything they can do to get the world to come into the church. The church ain't for the world. Amen. The church is for God's people. Ecclesia, God's called out people. You ought not, if you're in the world, you love the world, you're not going to be welcome in a house where God's word is being preached. You're either going to come in and say, you know what, I need to hear that. I need to be saved, or you're gonna be like, I don't want to hear. I don't want nothing to do with that. Right. No two ways about it. Yeah. Paul, an apostle of Jesus by the will of God. Now watch this. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is the foundation of the whole church. If I come in here and I ain't preaching the gospel, if I'm not giving you scriptures and supporting it with scriptures and explaining the scriptures, I'm not preaching. Preaching is not me coming in here making up stuff.
Amen.
And doing the running man and all that.
Amen.
They're not preaching me hollering and hooting and stuff. They're not preaching.
Amen.
Preaching is when the word of God is explained and delivered. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Paul says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's instruction for the ignorant. What you call people to be ignorant just means you just don't know. My job is to instruct you. If God has opened your heart to hear the word of God, you need some instruction. It ought to be divine. And the only way it's going to be divine is if it's coming from the scriptures, not from me. And I had to open up the scriptures and preach the gospel. So the word of God said, if a barbarian walked in and heard the word of God, he believed. He believed. But if everybody running around babbling and speaking all different languages, he goes, these people crazy. And leave. That's what somebody going to do. Oh, people, listen. Let me keep going. Let me talk about our life's journey. It's powered by the will of God. If you're a child of God, you're going to go through. Don't let these folks fool you. You're going to live your best life now. You're going to go through hell now.
Amen.
Okay? Okay? Oh, pastor. I'm prosperity. I'm going on vacations. I'm going to Barbados. I'm going to Florida. Listen. Don't tell me about a vacation here. Tell me this vacation. When you go to Israel and you want to go to the walk where Jesus walked, then call me.
Amen.
Maybe that vacation I might be interested in.
Amen.
Okay? See, our life journey is powered by the word of God. Watch this. Watch this. Sitting be like, leave my people alone. Listen, here's Paul. This is interesting. I have to share this. Paul says this in Romans 1:10. He said, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now, Paul's trying to get to Rome. He's trying to get to Rome to preach to the Roman believers, and he calls it a prosperous journey. Now, watch what happens on this journey. Paul is persecuted. He's arraigned before Agrippa and loses. He is put on a boat. In the boat, falls all apart. Then Paul has to swim to shore. And then when he gets to shore, Acts 8:28-1, and when they were escaped, this is his prosperous journey. This ain't the prosperity you hearing on TBN. Okay, this is biblical prosperity. Okay? And when they were escaped, then they knew the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us little kindness. No little kindness. For they kindled a fire. Paul's on a prosperous journey. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came out a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. On his hand. See, some of us got vipers on us now. Don't even know it. We ain't trying to shake them off. We just, they're just hanging on us. You look at some folks and they're covered with vipers. Like a viper suit on. Ain't trying to shake them off. I like my vipers. Don't preach my vipers away. You know? When John was out in the wilderness and the Pharisees started coming, and Paul and John called them vipers. Vipers. Who have warned you of the fire to come? We like vipers. You know, they make cars called vipers. Watch this. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he have escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. No, Paul did. Y'all sing that song? Shake, shake, shake. Shake the devil off. Listen. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. See? Paul, prosperous journey. Took him some places, some crazy places. And your prosperous journey, if you prosperous, because you didn't overcome some stuff. See, you don't think you're prosperous because you went through some stuff. People say, I'm going through. At least you're going through. See, we think prosperity is always getting stuff. Stuff and stuff and stuff. Let me tell you something. Prosperity sometimes is getting through some stuff.
Amen.
Okay, I remember sitting there going to that little hospital and watching Rita with them. Both knees getting done. She was in a whole lot of pain. Okay. She couldn't have done that on her own. And she'll tell you herself, I needed God's will to get me through that.
Amen.
But she did it. Listen. The doing part. And I'm close. The doing part of this will of God. There's a doing part. God has a part, but there's a part we have to do. There's a doing part. Listen to this. This is one of the ones, you know, Jackie, your Catholic friends won't like this one, but it's in the Bible. And as a Bible preacher, I have to do it. I don't mean to sing you out, Jackie. I understand. Here's Jesus. He's preaching, he's teaching, he's preaching, he's preaching, and his family didn't want to come in. Matthew 12. Watch this in verse 46. It says, and while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, not Mary, desiring to speak with him. They wanted to talk to him about stuff. Jesus was busy preaching. See, folks will sit there and tell me all the time, well, you know, you need to take a Sunday off. You need to take a Sunday off. You need to take a Sunday off. Listen, I want to go on record. I don't want to ever miss a Sunday. I don't ever want to miss a Sunday. I've been here since I've been here. I haven't missed a Sunday. I don't plan on missing one. Okay? You don't get no sick days in this business. Let me tell you something. I don't tell you young preachers up here. You don't get no days off. You don't get no vacation days. But the retirement package is wonderful.
Amen.
Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. I'm going to get you, Ariana. But he answered. Now his mother and his brethren is standing outside wanting to speak to Jesus. His mother and family's outside wanting to speak to Jesus. Don't miss this. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who is my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. That's the doing part. There's a doing part to this. See? And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You ain't been down here forever. 70. That's 70. Maybe some of you get 80. Some of you get 85. Some of you get 90. Ain't a whole lot getting 100. Okay? You getting out of here. And you getting out of here, you want to buy forever? You want to, or not? 1 Thessalonians. You see, you can't preach on the will of God without this verse. So somebody asks you all the time, this will be a question. Well, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know what God's will is for my life. You fornicator. You adulterer. You liar. You cheat. You don't know what the word of God says about it. Yeah. Let me help you. Let me help you show you the will of God right from the scriptures. So you can talk to your carnal friends. You know, they doing stuff that I used to do before I knew what the will of God was. Okay? I don't try to preach up to you. I don't want to preach down to you. I don't want to preach like I'm holding it out. Listen, this is only by the grace of God. I am what I am.
Amen.
But the word of God is clear. I can stand on it.
Amen.
Furthermore, 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, people of God, people who claim to be Christian, people who claim to know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, brethren, those who say we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives, brethren, sisterin, and I exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what? Commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul's getting out of the way, too. This is a volatile verse. Can't preach. Everybody want to hear this? Okay? I've known choir directors, pregnant Amen. Choir directors, single. Okay? Leading the choir, youth choirs too, single and pregnant. What's the message? Huh? What's the message? How many here want a pregnant choir director teaching your children? Single. Nothing wrong being pregnant. Y'all know I'm pro-life. Stay pregnant. Have it. Some things you just can't do in God's house pregnant.
Amen.
Can't lead the choir and be happy with it. I'm cool with it.
Amen.
I'm pregnant, but I'm cool. Okay. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. This is not the will of the pastor. This is not the will of Pastor Neil. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. Okay? Even your sanctification. Even your walk with the Lord. Even your holy walk with the Lord. What is it? That you should abstain from fornication. Now, if I was to take a survey, men and women, how many of us know this verse to be true? If we would have abstained from fornication, some of us would say our lives would be a whole lot sweeter.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I don't know. You know, I was just talking to myself. Why? Why Paul say that? He says this. Remember, he's talking to the believers. This is why I say folks uncomfortable in churches where the word of God is preached. Because you know, a saved person like, man, I just shouted, that's a good stuff. That's a good word.
Amen.
I'm getting strong by hearing it.
Amen.
You know, but the unsaved person come in and, oh man, this dude is just he just messy. That every one of you who claim to be Jesus Christ followers, who claim to have the power of God working in your life, every one of you, pastor included, ministers, deacons, ushers, choir members, first ladies, janitors, not janitors, I can't say that anymore. That's not politically correct. I don't know what to call you all, Margaret and Ann. Housekeepers. Okay, environmental cleanliness people. Okay? Every one of you, that's what the word of God said. Every one of you, that's not me. Every one of you. Let me say it again. Every one of you, pastor's children's, minister kids, teenagers, Amani, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Or just stop. No, ain't nobody twisting your arm to do nothing in here. But if you're not living in honor and in sanctification, then just be careful. Be careful. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. Are you living like you know God? Or are you living like you don't know God? Well, Pastor, I've been sinning all my life. What should I do? First Peter 4:2. He says this. Start today. Start today. The Bible says today, if you what? Hear my voice. Harden not your heart. So don't get mad at me. Harden not your heart. Say, you know what, God? Get on your knees tonight. See, faith coming by hearing. You didn't heard it. Get on your knees tonight. Say, Lord, give me what the pastor say I need. Give me what the word of God says I need. Give me the power to live for you in a way that gives you glory and honor. That's all.
Amen.
You ain't got to do it here. You ain't got to come up here. You ain't got no mourner's bench or none of that.
Amen.
Just get on your knees tonight in your own little space, your own little room, and say, you know, I know how I'm living. It's not giving you glory and honor. Give me the power to do it.
Amen.
To do it.
Amen.
To do it. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. Oh, Pastor, that's big. That's big. Pastor, we're preaching big. That's big. That's big. Let me read it again. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. David, I'm close. This is my last verse. Greatest king ever lived. Watch this now. The greatest king that ever lived. David loved God so much that people actually thought that he was divine. That he wasn't really a man of flesh. That he was divine. Watch this now. Acts 13:36. It says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. David loved God because he had the will of God working in him.
Amen.
Okay? David was a man of God after God's own heart because David embraced the power of God in his life. And David made mistakes and we know it. But David was a great king. He served his own generation by the will of God.
Amen.
See, I say this, you know, listen, a shepherd, was without a voice. A shepherd couldn't vote. A shepherd had no rights. No rights at all. You couldn't call a shepherd to be a witness. Now, I say that because I watch all this stuff on TV, and every time there's a riot, every time they got a movement, a march, somebody get killed, they call the preachers. And I'm like, something wrong with that picture. Because the world never called a preacher. Biblically, a preacher had no voice. Nobody believed a preacher. Nobody believed a shepherd. But now every time there's a mess, every time the world's in a mess, you got preachers standing back there. Huh? There's a problem with that. Here's the problem. If you call me, I'm going to give you a biblical response to the problem. All right,
amen.
I'm not gonna sit here and say I'm gonna teach y'all how to lock arms and how to break down a riot wall and all that. I'm gonna hear what the word of God said. See, David served his own generation. How did he do it? How did he do it? Now watch this text. He did it by the will of God. These preachers ain't doing it by the will of God.
Amen.
I'm gonna tell you, son. Y'all be careful.
Amen.
Now y'all sit here. Oh, Pastor, I'm just being real. A man of God is going to be directed and guided by the will of God. Period. Period. And that ain't being political or nothing. I'm just giving you the scripture.
Amen.
And watch this. They thought so much of David. It says, and he fell asleep. See, he fell asleep. He fell on sleep and was laid onto his fathers and saw corruption. You know why they put that in there? Just to let you know, he was a man.
Uh-huh.
He was a man, and he died like every man, and he was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. His body rotted just like everybody else's. But you know what David had that most of us don't have? And most of us don't even want. Because we know if we get it, it's going to cause problems. See, it's going to cause problems. We don't want problems. We want everybody to like us. Well, everybody going to like you if you're a woman of God or a man of God. You're not going to be Miss Congeniality. You're not going to be the homecoming queen if you get up in front of the people and say, thus say the Lord. Just don't even run. Don't even take a vote, because they're not even going to allow you to talk about your Jesus. And if you can get up there and stand before a million people and say nothing about your Savior, about the man who died on Calvary's cross for you, if you can stand before people and talk for hours and never mention your Savior, then you probably don't got it.
Amen.
Now, there's no problem not having it, because faith cometh by hearing it. You know you don't have it. Get on your knees if you want it.
Amen.
And say, Lord, give me the power to represent you in a fallen world, and then give me the strength to withstand all the hatred and animosity that's going to come with me serving you.
Amen.
That's what I have. Paul knew it, and Paul said this: be not conformed to this world, people of God, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove that, what is that good and acceptable and perfect? Here we go. Will of God. Prove it. You know what the world needs to see? Some Lazarus. Some folks that have been raised from the dead. If you're a child of God in here, you've been raised from the dead. You've been raised from the dead.
Amen.
And you know what? Folks need to see it.
Amen.
Folks need to see it. So, in closing, I'm tired. That message, word of God. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other.
Amen.
Because one day you're going to stand, and folks leaving out of here, lady got on the train the other morning, just dropped their babies off at the babysitter and ran and got on the train, got to the front of the train, didn't know the train was going to run into the terminal, gone. Now, she ain't no Lord before that train hit the terminal. She's going to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I was a good employee, a good worker. I was a good mother. Many are going to say to me in that day, Lord, precious Lord, we thank you.